Welcome to this week's book hype. It's a very special one and it's all about banned books. So I'm sure somewhere in the world this podcast will probably be banned for the topic of conversation. Tonight I am joined by Kyle, Mikhail, and Karen. Hey guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Very semi-enthusiastic. You can tell it's not morning. We're a little bit more like awake. It's amazing.
See, I thought I would be more awake, but I'm not.
Oh,
No.
bummer. All right, as
Yeah.
I said, this week, or today officially, because it is Monday the 22nd, or 23rd, I don't even know what day it is. It's Monday the 23rd. So it officially kicks off Banned Book Week, which for us here at Iowa and us as readers in general, is kind of a big week. It brings a lot of light. It sheds a lot of light onto the various books that have been banned and challenged throughout the year, the authors, and even some of the classics that are still banned and challenged in schools, in libraries, and in communities. So I always think it's a really cool and important topic to discuss because there's so many different things that play into it. So first things first, do you guys know the difference between a banned and a challenged book?
I
No,
definitely
ma'am.
don't. I have no idea.
It's your quiz for the day. A challenge book is basically a book that has been it's been brought to the attention and it's been questioned. Here's the exact definition from ALA. A challenge is an attempt to remove or restrict materials based upon objections of a person or a group. A banning is a removal of those materials. So a challenge does not simply involve a person expressing a point of view, rather they're an attempt to remove material from a curriculum or library. So a challenge is when it is being questioned by a person or a group and with the intent to remove. A banning is when it's actually removed from a curriculum or from a library. So that's the difference.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but just so everyone's clear when we're talking what we're talking
It's
about.
like being sued to have a restraining order and then actually getting the restraining order.
Yeah, okay, that's a awesome. Kyle, got anything to tell us? Any confessions you'd like to make?
No, I just don't put me around Colton Haynes anytime soon.
Oh boy. And there's Kyle for the night. So yeah, so this week it kicks off. Basically it's the American Library Association. It's their kind of celebration to remind people of their First Amendment rights in the States. It's particularly around reading materials. Because when you think of freedom of speech, which is the First Amendment, you don't necessarily think of freedom of what you can read, you know, because clearly it's about speech, but you know, reading is a communication tool. So a lot of times what you'll find is that banned and challenged books happen particularly in school systems or in more conservative areas of the country and, you know, in libraries and such. Particularly in school systems, you'll find a lot of it depending on what the content is and what you're allowed to teach. As a teacher, I'm incredibly lucky that I work in a private school, so I'm given a lot of freedoms as of what I'm allowed to teach. And parents have always been super supportive about what I choose to teach their kids. Like I've taught the Hunger Games, I taught the Book Thief, I taught The Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Those are not your typical books that you're out there in general
You
education.
sound like an awesome teacher.
Yeah, can you teach me
Try
that?
kids. I do. If I'm gonna teach something and read something, I want it to be something that I love too, because if I have to teach something that I find tedious and boring, nobody's gonna like it. And not only that, but those books in particular, linked to things that are classic literature, it's still there. We're just going to look at it in a new and fresh way so that the kids are more invested in it too. And that's always how I kind of look at literature. We always want them to be invested. Yes, we want to look at the classics. We want to explore them. We want to have them exposed to them. But I also want to make sure that we're reading and doing things that they're going to latch onto and understand and really want to be a part of and want to read and be involved with. Because if they're not, then they're not really going to get the most out of it. So as an educator, that's always my goal. And I think that's most educators' goal. I don't think anyone wants to have kids that are disinvested because you're not going to get very far. So using current literature is amazing for that. And the stories out there are fantastic. It's just that some of the material becomes questionable in some people's minds. Not necessarily mine. That, you know, that's just kind of my thing. I don't ever see a point for banning or challenging a book. It's there. As an adult, I end up in the book before I give it to a kid. And that's the same thing for a parent. Like a parent has every right to determine what their child, their the children that belong to them should and shouldn't read. That is strictly up to them. However, to impose that upon everyone's children is a completely different outlook that I don't necessarily agree with. So now that I'm going to put my soapbox away, I'm going to throw this back on the list of things that have come out. So basically, there have been a lot of bans and challenges. In particular, the latest one actually just happened a couple days ago. Rainbow Rowell was, her book Eleanor and Park was banned in Minnesota, was banned in a Minnesota school district, and her upcoming visit and talk were canceled. So what do you guys think about that?
I feel like it's a little ridiculous that, like, you would invite someone and have it set to come and visit and talk, and then they're like, what? You know what? Never mind. Go away. Like, that's just rude.
Well, I think what happened was the librarians invited her, and the people who, the banners, I guess, let's say, and, you know, the librarians had put her books out, like, on display and things, and the people who didn't want the book out had objected to that and objected to her being brought there on state funds or taxpayers something, and, you know, and that's why she was disinvited. So it wasn't the people who did the disinviting and the people who did the inviting, I don't think, were the same people.
No, she was actually invited by school librarians, Eleanor Park, which was an optional summer reading book, was on the list. So the librarians invited her to come and speak. And there were parents who were very unhappy about it, about the content of the book. And they persuaded the district, the county board, and the local library board that the book was inappropriate, and that allowing her to sit and talk about it was likewise inappropriate. And that is why it was canceled.
I know Merrim, I would have my head for this, but I have no idea what Eleanor and Park is about. But, like, I can't imagine that it's all that bad. I mean, what was really their basis for banning it?
Profanity, I think. There's a lot of profanity in the book. I mean, I think it's used well. I haven't read the whole thing. I started listening to it on audiobook, but it's used in, apparently, I mean, I read an interview with her and she said, like, the main characters almost never swear. It's you know, the negative characters in the book who swear and use racial slurs and things like that. And the topic of sex comes up, obviously. I don't think it's explicit in any way, but there's two teenage kids in a relationship. Oh my god, they discuss sex.
Yep.
I
feel like
say
a lot of, oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I think my big thing when it comes up that, oh, they discuss sex, oh, there were bad words. Have you turned on the television or read a newspaper?
Have you been on the bus? That's the biggest culprit.
Like, have you walked down a high school hallway? Because I don't think Eleanor and Park is a misrepresentation of high school at all. I think that those things absolutely do exist in our culture, that they are there, and the book represents them in an appropriate manner. So I think that, you know, the book is being faulted for its realism, in a sense, by people who don't want to own the fact that this is real life. We don't live, you know, in the 1950s. Not everything is nice and sweet and kind. That's just not the way it is. So I guess when it comes to things like this, this is the part that I find really tricky. Yes, say no to your child for reading the book, but why say no to everyone's child? What gives you that right any more than it gives me the right to give the children these books without your permission?
Yeah, there's this very, like, threatened worldview, I think, that's part of this, you know? Like, I do understand, you know, wanting to shield your kid. Like, I'm not against that. That's a personal, you know, parenting decision. Every kid is different. And I think that that does become a little more complicated when a book is, like, assigned in school. But, I mean, you always have the option of being, like, of telling the teacher that you don't want your kid to read that book. Which I know what happened with Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian was recently, I'm not sure if it was banned or challenged, in a school near where I live, which is a very metropolitan area. And it was because it was assigned to sixth graders. And it's like, yeah, okay, if you don't want your kid reading it, I get it. I don't know if I would assign it to sixth graders, but I'm not a teacher. But, you know, the whole like idea that just because it's out there, that your children becoming even aware of something that contains something that you don't want them exposed to is harmful. Yeah, I don't think it's helpful. It's not like a good approach to the world. Like shielding your children, fine, but you can't shield them from absolutely everything forever.
Yeah, I agree. Like it's incredible how some parents would, if they want to shield their parent, like raise their kid a different way, that's fine. Like do whatever like you think is right for your family and whatever. But like don't like make other families have to force their way of raising someone be like that, you know? That just so book banning just doesn't make sense to me at all. Like at all.
It feels like a control issue in a lot of ways. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really about control. Who gets to say what about what everyone is reading? So it's a fine line, I think, in a lot of different ways. And I get it at the same time. I get challenging books for your own children. I don't get challenging books for the world as a whole. Again, that's kind of my big thing. But the best part about all of this, do you guys realize every time a book like this is challenged and it's put directly in the spotlight this way, their sales go through the roof because everyone wants to know why is this book being challenged? So all they're doing by saying this book is banned in this school district is inviting everyone else in the world to want to read it because, oh my gosh, what's so bad about it? It was banned. It must be horrible. I'm gonna go read and find out for myself. Legitimately, that is what's going to happen. Like, I bet if we look at the New York Times bestselling list next week, that book will have moved up the list.
It's almost kind of just completely contradictory to their entire point of planning the book.
Exactly. That, and I think that's what I always find amusing about it. While it's frustrating and annoying that these things happen, at the same time, it's amazing publicity because everyone wants to know why someone would ban that book. And it becomes a conversation, and that book is talked about, and it's endless. So, you know, great for you, Minnesota, for wanting to ban the book, but at the same time, you just put a huge glaring light on it and all its content and made people super, super curious. So there's that.
No offense to the state of Minnesota at large, of course.
No, that's what I'm saying. Not, not, not,
If you live
not.
in Minnesota, we don't hate you.
Absolutely not.
I've never been to Minnesota.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the books that were challenged or banned this year. There's a fairly lengthy list. And right at the very top, or maybe, oh, they're in alphabetical order, so not necessarily right at the very top, but The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian. And I think it makes the list every year, like since it's been published. It is a very controversial book. It is constantly being challenged. This time it was challenged in a freshman English class in New Jersey because of some very sensitive material in the book, including excerpts on masturbation, amongst other explicit sexual references, encouraging pornography, racism, religious irreverence, and strong language.
That sounds like the best book ever.
Well, have you not read it, Kyle? It's so good.
No, I have
Oh
not.
my God. And it made me cry like six times.
Yay! Oh, I'm excited.
So that's one that we see. And the best part about this ranks very high on the New York Times bestselling list every week. It's amazing. So while it may be challenged, it doesn't mean it's not being purchased consistently. Some other interesting ones that were challenged. Ender's Game was challenged at a middle school. And they actually tried to charge the teacher criminally for reading the books to his students.
What? For what reason? What?
I don't.
Homoerotic subtext? Because that's the only thing I see going on in Ender's Game.
I don't. I'm looking to see what it says.
Okay.
Oh, the teacher read excerpts. Because he read excerpts from The Ender's Game, Agatha Christie, and a novel set in the Old West. And because the materials were characterized as pornographic, he got in trouble for it, and that was what the charges were for. But he was not charged.
Okay, I'm like 3/4 of the way that book, nothing in it is pornographic. And trust me, I would be screaming the world like, "Oh my goodness, what?" If there was. That's
No, I
I
know a
wanna know
very
what.
religious school that that actually Ender's Game was one of the few books that they could teach because they didn't like it was a boys' school and they didn't like a lot of material with girls in it, so
I would want to know what classifies, like, what they want to complain for it. Like, how strict are they on the classifications of, like, pornographic? Like, seriously.
Let's see. The three top reasons for a book to be challenged are sexually explicit, offensive language, and unsuited to any age group. Now, I think it was last year, The Hunger Games landed towards the top of the most challenged slash banned books of the year. And do you guys know why The Hunger Games was challenged?
No,
Take a
was
guess.
it? Wasn't because of the death, was
No, and that's why I think I laughed so hard last
it?
time I read the book. It was not because of the violence, children killing children. Not at all, actually. It was mentioned, but that was not the main reason. The main reason was the sexually explicit content, which I'm not really sure. Yeah. And that literally that's what it was last year. Because I remember even the comments on Hypeable being like, I'm confused. Is there a different version of The Hunger Games? Yeah. So that's something to keep in mind. It honestly, people can view the content. It's very subjective. There are no rules or guidelines to say what is sexually explicit. So people can label it that, even though that may not be how anyone else sees it. You know what I
Wow.
mean?
Whew. Can I?
Yeah.
Wow, that's
It's the
crazy.
thing to keep in mind as we're talking about banned books that it says, you know, sexually explicit or pornographic, or those are just words that people use because they incite certain ideas. It doesn't necessarily mean that the content actually matches those ideas. Something to keep in mind.
I have to say, the Hunger Games movie would have been a lot more interesting if, well, there had been substance to that claim.
Oh, hey, Peter. What's up? Yep.
I have such a bad joke in my head, but I'm not gonna say it.
Leave it be.
I could Peter your bread anytime. I don't even know. That doesn't make sense.
And then there was Kyle, who just
Moving on.
and focusing, refocusing. Another book that was challenged, but then managed to remain in the teen section of the library was Suzanne Colasanti's When It Happened. There were concerns that it was too explicit. I'm trying to look for the ones that everyone. Oh, here's another one. Nickel and Dimed, which is a nonfiction book, by the way. And it's on Not Getting By in America is what it's called. And it was challenged but retained in an Eastern Pennsylvania area school's advanced placement English reading list, despite several residents and persons from outside the district calling the book faddist, of no moral value, and even obscene. So, there's that. Here's another one. Carter Finally Gets It by Brent Crawford. It's a book that's actually put out by Disney Hyperion. And it was challenged but retained in the Broken Arrow Oklahoma middle school libraries, despite parents' complaints that it is vulgar, vulgar, vulgar. No joke, that is in
What
quotes.
vocabulary?
Interestingly enough, the book was recognized by the Young Adult Library Services Association as one of 2010's amazing audiobooks.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Another award-winning book, I think it's award-winning at least, that's consistently challenged is M.T. Anderson's Feed. Have you guys ever read that? I will give them, it's got some language. It is heavy on the language. But again, I can't say that it's a whole lot different from what you might hear in a boys' locker room or a girls' locker room for that matter. But it definitely uses the F word as an adjective a lot. Maybe an adverb every now and then. But yeah, no, it's so parents challenged it. But then a notice went home that people would be reading a mature book and posted to the teacher's webpage as well. And it has won many awards, including it was a National Book Award finalist and a Junior Library Guild selection. So again, it's an award-winning book. But it is, you know, it's got some language, so choose how to deal with that as you will.
Oh my god, this one. The Dirty Cowboy by Amy Timberlake. Removed from the Anvil, PA Elementary School library shelves because of its illustrations involving a cartoon cowboy taking his annual bath. The supposedly true story is of a young cowboy who needs his annual bath and instructs his dog to watch his clothes while he bathes. When the cowboy emerges from his bath in the river, the dog does not recognize his familiar smell and refuses to give back his clothes. In the illustrations, the cowboy's private parts are always covered. The book has received numerous awards, including the International Reading Association Award, Parents' Choice Gold Medal, and the Bulletin Blue Ribbon. So, be careful of those illustrations, picture books.
Well, there's the other picture book. Picture books get a lot of flack. You would be amazed. There's not a lot on this list, but I remember reading about several of them. There's a Tintin in the Congo.
A Tintin book got banned? Or challenged?
Racist depictions. I don't know. The other one is, where I'm trying to find it. It is, no, it's on here, I saw it. It's Entangle Makes Three. Are you guys aware of that one?
Mm-mm.
It is a picture book. Where did it go? Yeah, Entangle Makes Three. It's marked for removal in the Davis Utah School District because parents might find it objectionable. Entangle Makes Three, if I am correct, and I'm pretty sure I am, is a picture book about these penguins.
Oh, yes.
And so they raise a baby penguin on their own. And it's two male penguins. And there's been a lot of questionable, like, it is challenged frequently or complained about frequently.
That's so, yeah. An adorable book. Aw.
It is really cute. So.
That's like the perfect way to teach a kid that being gay is okay.
Exactly. But yeah, no, there are people who find it incredibly objectionable because it's a children's picture book and why would you give children that? And so, yeah, I mean, I've read all the articles and stuff on it. It's, you know, that's the other thing. I also used to work as a teen librarian. So for me, like, I love books and giving kids books. And yes, I'll never forget. It was last year when I was working at the library. This was, older woman came to me and asked me about those Harry Potter books. And I was like, oh, right over here. And she's like, well, I'm teaching a Boy Scout troop or something, and they're all talking about these books. I was like, uh-huh. And well, I just have to read them to see what they're about, because there's questions. They're talking about witchcraft. And I'm like, they're wizards. It's the only thing I could call. I'm like, it's wizards. So she was like, but it's magic. I'm like, uh-huh. And on what plane is magic real? But she just kept going on and on about how horrible these books were, and she just had to read them to find out because they were so inappropriate and the children were reading them, and how could we have these books in a library? And I'm like, well, it's a public place. It, you know, I could basically buy any book I wanted because it's public and it's freedom of speech and, you know, all kinds of other things. But she was very upset that we had Harry Potter books.
I can't believe that
ship had sailed. What's that?
Can't believe you met one of them.
I know. Odd because most people in my town are pretty cool. They're pretty, you know, they're not too reactive to things. And I also had another woman who was reading lots of young adult books. She really, really enjoyed them, which is fun because as an adult, I really enjoyed them. And she came up to me to let me know that there were curse words in one of the books. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, and if you pick up the ones next to it, there might be sex in them. But I didn't say that. I kind of wanted to just to get a reaction, but I tried to behave.
yeah. Oh, you're no fun.
I guess
fun.
I find it, I always say, I know. I was trying to be good, Karen, because once I go off the deep end, there's no getting me back. It's not good.
See,
So yeah,
I
so I guess it
understand
was.
even why like older people could be like surprised or even bothered by the content of teen books, because obviously teen books have changed a lot, you know. But like, where does that? I don't get the steps in between, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I guess like I always think back to like when I was younger, the big books at the time, like there was Judy Blume. Judy Blume is the queen of being banned. She loves it. She talks about it all the time because her books were constantly being banned and challenged because she was writing about things that nobody talked about at the time. Do you know what I mean? It just those were not topics of conversation that people had employed company. You know, now we see them on TV all the time, but it just wasn't something done at the time, and she just did it. She kind of broke all the rules and did it. And then if you also think back, like, I know a lot of the things that I read when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of teen books. There was Sweet Valley High, kids. That's not very exciting after a while. So there were other things. You would read Stephen King, which, you know, for teens at the time, it may not have been a great, or for a 10-year-old at the time, it might not have been a great idea. Or the other one that was always super popular at the time too was VC Andrews. Do you know what the contents of a VC Andrews
Oh
book
my God.
are?
That,
Thank you.
yeah. I read Flowers in the Attic. That scarred me for life.
Exactly. But those were the books out there that people would be reading that were, I mean, younger people would be reading because that's what was kind of around. And the really funny part is VC Andrews books have been repackaged and in some places are actually in the young adult section of bookstores.
Oh my God. That's so wrong.
Because technically the main characters are teens. I mean, in most of the books. So, and for those of you who don't know what is in a VC Andrews book,
Yeah, I'm
it's
like, what?
a lot of incest. A
Oh,
lot,
God.
basically.
Yeah.
The love plot usually revolves around brothers and sisters. And most of the time they know that they're brothers and
Okay,
sisters.
I was like upfront incest? Or, like, Jesus.
In some cases, the ones I remember, but yeah, it was, and they're always in really awkward, cruel positions. Like, it's really like Flowers in the Attic. They're literally trapped in the attic. Their crazy, what, mother or aunt or somebody locks them up in the attic. So
Yeah,
it's just,
something like that.
yeah. So, I mean, but I, again, know your content if you're gonna give it to someone to read, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know where I went with that one. Sorry, that was a little sidetrack right there. For the last decade, from 20, there's a list that I think is really interesting. So from 2000 to 2009, it lists like the top 100 banned slash challenge books. What do you guys think is at the tippity top of the list?
Harry.
Yep.
Harry Potter.
I
Oh,
remember
here.
people talking
Chirp,
about
chirp.
that, like people, like authority figures. Like what when I grew up, like, is this okay? Is it like Harry like has a girlfriend? Is it all right? Like that was always the issue for us. Like not magic or anything. Just like just relationships. Relationships were
Really?
always the big red button.
That's so weird. I would have think like I would always think that like if someone bans Harry Potter, it's more because of like the magic and the stuff like that, not like the relationship so much. That's
No, yeah.
interesting.
And see, that goes right. See how that just highlights how subjective someone's opinion on a book is. That
Oh yeah, I
it
mean as far as I
really
know, it was never banned, you
no,
know,
but do you know what I
around
mean?
here.
That just it illustrates the point beautifully. Thank you. Thank you for that. So let me see. There was another list I wanted to show you. The top 10 of the 2000 to 2009 banned and challenged books. It's Harry Potter, the Alice series, The Chocolate Wars, and Tango Makes Three, Of Mice and Men, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, Scary Stories, His Dark Materials, the TTYLTTFN later series
Later,
by
Gator.
yeah, later
I
Gator
love
by
that series.
and then the 10th is The Perks of Being a Wallflower. So those are some pretty
Why
heavy
is
challenges.
the TTYL series banned? Jesus, that like that's literally girls going TTYL, LOL. Oh my God, hey, like, oh.
There must be something in there for content that makes them think it's completely inappropriate.
I read them all, and the one thing that can, like, remotely spark something in my head is the fact that they all drove on the freeway, and there are, like, six cars, and so six friends went out on the freeway, and they drove the same speed to block everyone from going fast, and so they blocked the entire freeway from going over, like, 25 miles an hour.
Those assholes.
Yeah.
That's ban it. Ban it now.
I really don't know what that would qualify as, to be honest.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. And just to kind of like compare from 1990 to 1999, the top 10 books most frequently challenged were Scary Stories. So that was at the top of the list. It's now moved down a little bit. Daddy's Roommate, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, The Chocolate War, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Of Mice and Men, Forever by Judy Blume, Bridge to Terabithia, Heather Has Two Mommies, and Catcher in the Rye. Kind of, again, an interesting thing. I always find it interesting to see what people ban, and I guess why they ban them is always my favorite part, because I don't get it. Like, I don't understand some of it, I guess. Because I don't see it in the book myself. Do you guys know what the top classic book banned or challenged is?
Wuthering Heights.
I'm here on book hype.
Romeo and Juliet?
No.
Is it the one that's in the dock?
Pride and Prejudice.
How did I put it?
Aaron's like,
I'm not
that
even
title you wrote
the
right there.
I'm going to guess The Great Gatsby.
I didn't realize I put it in there, but look, I did.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Great Gatsby.
No, now they all know that we can't read.
Excellent.
We've secretly been reading everything via audiobook, telling everyone that we've actually read them.
Right. I mean, so if you look at the classic books, I think it's kind of an interesting list. Because you have The Great Gatsby, The Catcher in the Rye, The Grapes of Wrath, To Kill a Mockingbird, The Color Purple, Ulysses, Beloved, The Lord of the Flies, 1984, Lolita, and Of Mice and Men are tied. Looking at that list, how many of those books did you guys have to read in school?
I had to read, like, I think almost every single one, but I read one.
Right, but I mean, you're looking at basically an AP English class list in high school. I mean, maybe not even AP, maybe regular English class list in high school.
Yeah.
Reading.
Definitely regular, because I didn't got no AP.
Yeah, I know I read The Great Gatsby, The Lord of the Flies in 1984 in high school. The Lord of the Flies in 1984 were like two of my favorite books that I had to read in high school.
For a second, it sounded like you said you read them in 1984 for high school. I was like, what?
Yeah, I'm that old.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting when we look at a list like this that they're the most challenged or banned, but they're also what we're putting out there to educate people with, to use as examples of literature that we discuss and we talk, you know what I mean? I don't know. It entertains me, I guess, to some extent, to know that they're banned and challenged, and yet they're so prominent in American education.
I think it is really interesting, and I think it's a good thing, because I'm a firm believer in the fact that children and teens are a lot smarter than I think some adults give them credit for, and I think that they should read these things and come to their own conclusions about them, because, yeah, maybe, you know, there is some content in there that's not the greatest, but, you know, they're not going to, like, read The Lord of the Flies, then, like, go kill people, you know, throw them off cliffs and stab them with spears and stuff. But I think that if they can understand the books, it can teach them a lot about life and a lot about society. So, you know, they should be reading these things.
I read a censored copy of Les Mis in high school. It was 400 pages long. It cut out everything about Fantine and whatever she was dying from.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really funny because, like, in one sentence, she was, like, not sentence, but part of the book, she was, like, healthy and fine, and then all of a sudden, like, literally she was dying, and I was like,
huh,
what?
I didn't realize they made, like, censored copies of books that way.
Oh, yeah, it was, like, one of those, like, dusty, hardbound ones that they give out in school.
Huh, who knew? Not me. So do you guys have any other comments on banned books or challenged books?
Well, another thing that baffles me is that people could ban stuff from a public library. Like, that's really disturbing. Like, even a school library I could not agree with, obviously, but, like, there's a place in my head where I could be, like, possibly, but public libraries? I mean, you know, what? Like, that's where people get books, you know? Like, it's nobody's job to say, other than, like, librarians, you know, what should or shouldn't be in the library.
Yeah, we humans tend to have a general capacity to think, oh, hey, I don't like this. No one else should like this. And then try to prevent everyone from liking it.
If that was true, nobody else would read 50 Shades of Grey.
Aww. I think the point about the librarians is this. The librarian's job isn't even their job to say what should and shouldn't be in a library. It is their job to acquire, cultivate, and kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it. But to cultivate a really strong reading culture in a library, to have books that will interest everybody. Like, there are books in the teen section at the library I worked at that I bought because, not because I loved them, not because I thought they were good books, but because the kids would love them. It's what they wanted to read. They asked for them. So whether or not I personally liked them couldn't play a role in the fact that this is what the kids wanted to read. And if a kid wants to read, who am I to be like, oh no, that's a bad book.
Exactly.
Sure, I can show them other books with similar themes that are better, in my opinion, but it doesn't mean that I can't, or that I don't, as a librarian, buy the books that they're requesting. So I think that's kind of, I don't know.
I totally agree with that. Just because, like, you know, it's so hard sometimes to get kids to read. How can anybody not want a child to read something? Like, I get if it's really graphic and stuff. Like, I know, like, my mom wouldn't let me read A Child Called It, but there was a really good reason why she didn't want me to read that, and I was fairly young when I decided I really wanted to read this book for, like, whatever reason. I don't even know now. But she let me read a lot of other stuff that I think kids my age didn't really get into, because she always knew, like, that I was sort of ahead of everybody else in terms of reading and everything. And I think if a child wants to read something, like, that's sort of their decision, because a lot of kids don't. And I think that's really sad.
I'm actually really interested. It's too bad we don't have Marama here, because I'm interested what the international situation is with book banning. That one place that is everywhere that isn't America.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, too, because, like, just in terms of what, like, a lot of Europeans, like, their views on sex and stuff like that tend to be a lot looser than ours. Like, you know, America is pretty uptight compared to a lot of other countries out there. So I would think that they probably wouldn't have as much of a problem with it. But I would be really interested in knowing that, too. That's a good question.
So, yeah, basically anyone lives internationally and they know more about banned books in your country, let us know.
Actually, a lot of the books on the list were banned in, like, Malaysia.
That's interesting.
That's basically the same as the U.S. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's scary, though. Like, the idea that a government can ban a book, that's, like, well, I mean, that's not 1984, that's Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah. Well, I think but a lot of governments outside of the U.S. do ban books. Think about think about China and the places like that where you don't even have internet freedom. Like, you're not allowed. You can only go on certain things that are government regulated. Like, that, I think as Americans, in a lot of ways, we do take the freedom of speech a little too, like, for granted, because we have it. We've had it for several hundred years, and we're just used to it. We don't think that we have to. It's not really questionable for us. It is what we're allowed to do. And so when we look at other countries in regards to that, I think it's harder because we, you know, films go to our theaters no matter what. the government can't say, oh no, you can't watch that. That can't go into theater. They can put a warning on it. They can put whatever rating they want on it. There are groups that do that because that's their job. But at the same time, they can't say, no, it cannot be shown in theaters. But that doesn't apply to everywhere else either. So, I mean, I guess rules are different everywhere, but I think we do take a lot for granted when it comes to that.
It's very true.
And this is where my mom is like, they don't ban books in Australia.
Oh, man.
That was the best. Marima's probably rolling her eyes.
I know.
Like, what even?
Oh, goodness me. Anyway, does anyone have any other comments about book banning and banned book week?
Only bitches ban books.
Well, actually, I have a question about that. Like, do you think that there is a book out there that should be banned or, you know, challenged? Do you think that there's any sort of book that isn't suitable for certain people?
50 Shades of Grey.
I knew somebody was going to say that.
I mean, like, no. No, I feel like books, I think we tend to forget that, like, writing and, like, books are a form of art, I feel. And I feel like if someone can paint anything they want and, like, if you can paint whatever you want, and generally you can paint whatever you want and put it up wherever you want, like, in your own home, and, like, not have people yell at you for it because it's your art. I feel like if you want to share your art with the world, that's fine. Like, you're not forcing people to buy your art. You're not forcing people to, like, look at it. So I feel like books should not be banned because it's just ridiculous.
Actually, I do have one book that I sort of think should be banned. Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler, if anybody doesn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know what that was until you said it. Oh, yeah. I remember. I was like, oh, okay, that one.
And I think it should be kept, like, in universities, but I don't think it should be... Like, you can buy it in Barnes & Noble. And, like, I went to pass by it, and I was like, who's getting the royalties for that?
Oh, yikes.
Well, that's a good question. Yeah,
that is a fantastic question.
Not that anyone... I think some people are required to buy it for study purposes, but, like...
Yeah, that's why I mean, like, in universities and, you know.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting question, though, to know, to see where that the royalties would go for that. Huh.
Switzerland!
Yeah. there is one book, and I don't even think it's available anymore, so I don't even know if I have to mention it, but there was a book that came up on Amazon, maybe about a year ago, and it was about, I think it was about being a pedophile and how to be, like, a sneaky pedophile. And it was written by someone who was convicted of being a pedophile. And it was just so disturbing.
That is so bad.
Right. And so that was the only book that I really ever was like, burn them all, because it was just horrible.
Give them to the police force. Like, how stupid is this guy giving away his trade secrets?
Well, it was removed from Amazon. Like, people were out of control about it.
It was on Amazon?
That's where people it come up on Amazon. But Amazon removed it because people were just like, are you kidding me? This should be illegal. How is this not illegal? So, I mean, in this one case, it was really about the content, not just being questionable, but about being illegal.
Illegal and harmful to others.
Right. So, I mean, that's the one that really threw me. I was like, no, that's no. It's a waste of paper.
That makes sense.
Please tell me that was, like, independently published. That wasn't...
I think it was. Or by some ridiculously small, unknown house that was trying to, you know, make a splash.
Oof.
Yeah. But that was the one.
I like that. Yeah.
The only one ever that I've been so disturbed by that. I was like, what? Like, this isn't even... Yeah. So that was my one.
Do you guys think that I don't even know how to phrase it, like, the process of banning books, like, that forum that you can have, do you think that should exist?
I think that if you don't give people a forum to express their concerns, then it leads to such discontent that it gets ugly. Do you know what I mean? Like, if people feel that they're being heard at the very least, sometimes that helps alleviate whatever their issue is. But again, when it comes to books and stuff like that, it's a personal thing. You know, I'm not gonna tell what you guys what you should and shouldn't read. No one's gonna tell me what I should and shouldn't read. And no one's gonna tell like my family members, like my niece and my nephew. I don't have kids, so I can't use them as an example. But at the same time, like before they pick up a book and read it, someone's asking me if it's okay. Like you should always, as an adult, you have the right to check the content of your children's books. How you want to raise them is your choice until they turn 18 or a very rebellious 16. You know, it depends. Whatever. But you can't apply that to everyone's children. So trying to apply that to a public library is just not okay. Like it's not your place. If you're going in there and you're telling your children what they can and can't read, that is on that's your choice by all means. But it is unfair to try and to assert your beliefs onto everybody in a group. Like that's
Yes.
not acceptable.
Agreed.
So I understand the forum. I think conversation is good because again, it alleviates some people's questions and concerns maybe about content, but at the same time, it's when it results into this just, you know, whitewash banning of everything that it becomes a concern. Because maybe 50 people out of a town of, you know, 5,000 had an issue.
I
I
just
know.
realized that what we do on this podcast is tell people that what they should and shouldn't read.
I'm suggestive. It's not like, oh, you should never read that book. Oh my God. You shouldn't read it
I
because it has sex and it drops the F-bomb and oh my, no, it's not good for your
You
soul.
should read Two Boys Kissing because it has two boys kissing.
On the cover and
Spoiler
everything.
alert,
It's
Kyle.
oh no, whoops.
But do you know what I mean? So I think while we do make suggestions, I don't think anyone's gonna go home and go, oh well, book hype man, they told me it's bad to be
Yeah,
in the book. I don't think anyone takes that away. And if you do, then maybe we should have a very long conversation on
I
that. So yeah, it's a little bit more conversational on our end, I think, than demanding people not read a book.
yes, that is true. That
Good.
is true.
So, I think that pretty much wraps it up. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that's
Yeah.
it.
Go
All
read
right, good.
banned books, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so thank you guys for listening. And as always, you can leave your comments, questions, concerns in the post in the comment section of the post, or you can tweet us at Book Hype. So that's all for this week. And make sure you go and read one banned book from list this week if you're feeling up to it, up to the challenge. We will post the links to the banned book websites as well as the ALA.org for you guys to check out all the stuff that we discussed and to see all the different authors and books that are on the list this year. So thanks so much for listening. I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Michal.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.